Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. Quite a show this week. We've got a one-on-one sit-down with the new mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, the first time she's done an interview in her City Hall office. And we also have a debate between two of our favorites, Gloria Allred and Larry Elder, who both have very different views, but also have deep respect and love for each other. And it's really fun when these two great broadcasters and great attorneys get together and go at each other. So we'll have that in a moment, but let's begin with Karen Bass. Mayor Karen Bass.
Yes.
First time I've gotten to say that. Congratulations. This is the first time you've ever done an interview in the mayoral office itself.
That's right, where you can see I'm still moving in.
Yeah, how's it feel to be here physically in this space?
Well, it actually feels really good, a bit surreal. But the magnitude of the mayor's office, the responsibility is definitely sinking in.
I mean, it's been quite an eventful first week.
Let's start with
the inauguration itself.
Yes.
This massive event and celebration of you and of the city. When you looked out at that crowd, what went through your mind?
It was very emotional. It was just very exciting, very humbling. It was a joyful event, and I really liked that.
And the Vice President of the United States did the swearing in.
That's right.
We know there was some talk of a potential rivalry when you both were going for the VP office. There were some reports that maybe her team leaked negative information about you, but she's certainly been there for you in the end.
But you know what? Even throughout that, she was as well. So I think the rivalry was a nice maybe news story, but the two of us never conflicted at all. But let me just tell you, not only did she come and swear me in, she flew Air Force Two in and brought an entire delegation of members of Congress.
Right, and she was there on your final day of the campaign.
Right.
She did your last rally as well. What did she say to you during that inauguration?
She's been giving me bits of advice along the way. And basically just reassuring me, telling me to stick to my guns, I know how to do this, just really encouraging. And that, you know, there'll be times when things are not very positive, and be prepared for it.
And let's talk about now day one.
Yes.
You go to the Emergency Operations Center
and you declare
a state of emergency.
Yes.
So that state of emergency is kind of a bureaucratic term for a real practical effect for all of us LA residents. What does that actually mean now that we're in a state of emergency?
So what the state of emergency does is it tells everybody to sit up, pay attention, and we have got to view what is going on as an emergency, which means don't tell me you can't do something because this is the way it's always been done before. Don't tell me there's a regulation that stands in the way. The state of the emergency will allow us to bypass a lot of rules and regulations so that we can fast track building. But you know, Alex, it's not enough. We also need, and neighborhoods and people on the streets need a relief immediately. So the second part of the plan is a program that we're going to roll out next week called Inside Safe, which is about reducing encampments. We're going to get people housed immediately. We're going to take the lessons that we learned from COVID and get people housed into motels while we're fast-tracking building. Because even if we build as fast as possible, it's still going to take months.
Another thing you mentioned during your first day press conference is this idea of accountability.
Right.
If things don't happen. What exactly does that mean? Are people going to get fired if they don't hit a specific point? Or what does accountability look like?
I don't ever believe in leading punitively. I believe in leading inspirationally. And so what I said to the general managers is that I am not going to have an environment where you're going to be punished for shortcomings. So in other words, if you have shortcomings within your department and that's why you can't get things done, I want you to be willing to reveal the shortcomings and let's address them. Where it doesn't work is if you have shortcomings and you don't want to admit it or acknowledge it. So let me just tell you, one of the shortcomings that I found that I was really shocked by, I didn't realize that the city had thousands of vacant positions. Vacant positions that are actually accounted for in the budget. So how can you, if you're running the Department of Sanitation, we want to hold you accountable for keeping the city clean, and then you tell me you have 700-800 vacancies. I need to help you fill those vacancies before I'm going to criticize you. So that's the type of collaboration and spirit of unity that I'm trying to create within the city.
Okay, so that was day one. Day two is city council
exactly.
meets to try to pass your
exactly.
state of emergency. And that was a
an S show.
yes, it was.
A lot of people screaming, a lot of protesters.
Yes.
Kevin De Leon makes his way in. What do you make of Kevin De Leon's presence right now at City Hall?
Well,
and have you spoke to him at all?
Let me just say, you did describe that, but at the end of the day,
they passed
the state
it.
Of emergency was passed
yep.
unanimously.
Right.
That's the most important point, which is that the City Council, in spite of the chaotic sessions that you see, has still managed to do the business of the city. So, I mean, I feel the same way about Councilman De Leon. I think in order for the city to really begin the healing process, that he should step aside. But you know very well that the City Council, the mayor, the city attorney, the district attorney have absolutely no power.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be the residents of that district that decide whether or not he stays.
What do you make of the way that some members of the City Council have decided to walk out and not work with him, others staying behind to work with him?
Well,
what approach makes sense?
I think that they are hoping that if he is shunned and bring things to a halt, that he will decide to leave. At the end of the day, the work of the city must get done
mm-hmm.
in spite of him.
We also have all these people that are interrupting the procedures. Can that continue that way? And is there some changes that need to happen at the city that the work of the city can continue?
Well, I don't think that it can continue. The question is how you stop it. That's a whole nother subject. But what saddened me as I watched the City Council meeting yesterday was when people came for public comment, just the lack of any sort of decorum, cussing out people who are members of the council, accusing everybody of being corrupt. I just don't understand what the end game is. I do understand people are frustrated. I've been on the other side of that fence. When I was at Community Coalition, we used to mobilize people up here all the time. I've been involved in protests at City Council. Never seen anything like that, though.
So what can you do about it? And is there something more that you should do about it as mayor to actually talk to those people or bring them into your office? Is there more that can be done?
I certainly don't mind that. To be honest with you, on day three, it hasn't been top of my agenda.
Yeah. So now that you're actually in this job
and
you see all the chaos at City Hall, you see all the protesters and all the activity and all the rest of it, is it still worth it?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here. I mean, I loved working on the national and international level too, but this is, I'll get to see results right in front of me. And I'm just very excited about it.
And lastly, is there a chance to relax at all in the holidays? And any special holiday plans for you?
Well, my typical holiday plan, which is to have my entire family over on Christmas Eve, relaxing, that's another story. I don't think so.
Right. Well, yes. Merry Christmas. Congratulations
you.
Again. Mayor Karen Bass, great to talk with you.
Thank you. Same to you.
Our thanks to Mayor Bass and photographers Kyle Porter and James Wolf. Our panel is next, Larry Elder and Gloria Allred. Gloria, you were at the inauguration for Karen Bass where Stevie Wonder played Living for the City. So we go to break with that and your dance moves.
Oh, great.
Show us off.
Love is love. Right is right. Justice is justice. These things are fundamental.
This week, President Biden signed into law a federal protection for gay marriages and interracial marriages. Some argue this wasn't legally necessary. Here to talk about that and more is our all-star panel. Gloria Allred is known as Superglow and one of the best-known female lawyers in history. And Larry Elder is here. He is back. He ran for governor. He may be running for president. Who knows?
I'm also the one that gave Gloria the nickname Superglow.
Yes.
And everybody started calling her that.
Yeah, and of course, Larry is the sage from South Central.
Right.
So it's quite fun to have the two of you back together again here on our show. Let's start with that issue, though, of marriage equality, this big bill signing this week. What did you make of that, Gloria?
Absolutely necessary, and I give a lot of credit to the president and also to some Republicans, a few, and all the Democrats who voted for that very important bill because it's important, Alex, because it recognizes marriages that are, for example, in California, where, marriage equality is legal, then if they go to another state where it is not legal, then their marriage has to be recognized. And so that's why this federal law is very, very important.
Which is a hypothetical right now, because right now marriages are recognized in every state in the country.
Yes, but if they repeal it.
Completely unnecessary. After the Dobbs decision that reversed Roe v. Wade, and there was this supposed dictum that suggested maybe we could revisit same-sex marriage, there wasn't a single state that moved to outlaw same-sex marriage, not one. And in California, in our Constitution is the right to privacy, which was the basis upon which Roe v. Wade was decided. Wrongly, in my opinion, but the point is California has a right to privacy. So there's zero possibility that all of a sudden same-sex marriage and interracial marriage would be outlawed. So it's completely unnecessary, waste of time, virtue signaling on the part of the Democrats to say that we care about downtrodden gays and so forth, and the dastardly Republicans do not.
Larry, it was Justice Clarence Thomas, one of your heroes, who suggested that perhaps the court ought to, I'm paraphrasing, review the decision that it made in reference to marriage equality. And yes, that is still the law of the land, but if it were up to Justice Thomas, it may be that in the future, that's on his agenda and the agenda of the conservatives on the United States Supreme Court to say that that will be up to the states. And in that case, this federal law will be extremely important. By the way, of course, I've been involved in not only the Marriage Equality Act and the challenges to it, to the law in California. And as a result, since we were the first to file in the state to challenge the law, which prohibited marriage between a same-sex couple, and we were successful, our clients were the first to be able to marry in California. And gay rights and lesbian rights are still a major issue.
So a man who's married to a white woman on the same Supreme Court with Ketanji Brown Jackson, who's married to a white man, is going to overturn equality of marriage, and we're going to now outlaw interracial marriage.
And Clarence Thomas,
and
of course.
And the percentage of Americans now who support same-sex marriage is at an all-time high. And as I said before, after that decision came down, where supposedly Clarence Thomas gave a wink-wink, nudge-nudge, you can now move to outlaw same-sex marriage, not a single state introduced the law to do so.
Well, you know what?
There was no reason to do any of this.
It is possible that it is going to happen in the future. And Clarence Thomas is the best evidence of that, what he said in the Dobbs decision. But having said that, you know, the United States Supreme Court now is considering a case brought by a web designer who says that I don't want to have to do a web page for a same-sex couple who wants to marry, arguing free speech, religious beliefs.
Different issues.
I had a very similar case in California many years ago, Engel versus Worthington Reunion Photographers, where the reunion photographers declined to publish a photo of my same-sex couple, my clients, in the reunion book, because they advertise free speech.
You will in a second. Let me know when I can
respond. But let me finish the sentence. Because of their religious, the reunion photographer said they won't publish it because their right of free speech, their religious convictions or beliefs. We won that case, but yet a similar case is now before the U.S. Supreme Court because we won under California law, and I'm very concerned about the constant attacks on the rights of gays, lesbians, and transsexual individuals.
You don't seem to care about the constant attacks on somebody's own religious convictions. And in Colorado, the man that ran the cake shop, and a gay couple came in and asked him to bake a cake for a gay marriage, refused to do so because he felt it violated his religious convictions. The Supreme Court backed him up. Same thing's going to happen here. He's a web designer who's a Christian who doesn't want to do a web design for a gay marriage. Would it be okay if Planned Parenthood on their website was forced to show women who are pregnant that there are so-called pregnancy resource centers where they can get an alternative, where they could get adopted services? Should you force everybody who's got a pro-choice website to have pro-life access as well? Would you do that?
That's a completely different
issue.
Why
is it different?
It is an absolutely different issue. And by the way, the attacks on Planned Parenthood, the attacks on the right to choose legal and safe abortion continue.
But why is it a different issue?
Why is it a different issue?
Yeah.
You know what? This is a business. This is not, you know, a nonprofit. And businesses should not have a right to deny persons on account of their sexual orientation right to have access to a business. Yeah. Or a public accommodation.
So if you're a nonprofit like Planned Parenthood, then we can compel Planned Parenthood to put pro-life resources on their website?
Absolutely not. Not pro-life resources.
You just now said that was
Look, you know what? They're providing scientific and medical information and options. And of course, I sued the Right to Life League of Southern California many years ago for they were doing pregnancy tests, so-called pregnancy tests. And we were successful in proving that that was false advertising and that was practicing medicine without a license. And no, that kind of information they were providing should not have to be put on the webpage of Planned Parenthood.
I don't see what the difference is.
All right, we're going to move on to another issue because we could talk about this all day. We want to get to the issue of reparations in California. This week, the state's reparations task force met to discuss whether blacks should get financial compensation due to the way that their ancestors were treated. It's still unclear who would be eligible, how much they'd get paid. The group is due to offer recommendations by next summer. Larry, I'm guessing you're not a big fan of this.
It's absurd. Reparations is the extraction of money from people who were never slave owners to be given to people who were never slaves. California was a free state. The idea that somehow I, as a black person, should get $250,000 from taxpayers who had nothing whatever to do with slavery is insidious. And what about people that are 10% black or 25% black? Should they get a 10% check or 25% check? And how many times do we want to do this? Women didn't have the right to vote until 1920. Should Gloria Allred get reparations for not being able to vote because she's a woman and her ancestors could not vote? What about the treatment of Japanese? They couldn't own farmland in California. What about the treatment of Chinese? They were discriminated against in the laundry business in the Bay Area.
Well, actually,
we could go and do this forever. And do we go back to Africa? Because without the complicity of African chieftains, the African and this Arab slave trade never would have taken place.
Gloria, your thoughts?
There have been reparations for people who are Japanese who were interred during World War II in California.
To them, or through their legal heirs?
Well, you know, if it was to them or their legal heirs, it doesn't matter. There were reparations. The point is that we should acknowledge, as a country and in every state, that slavery was wrong, that it should never have taken place, that the slaves were harmed in irreparable harm, and that there have been harms to African Americans ever since then because of systematic discrimination against them in education, in employment, in every other way. So it'll be interesting to see what this task force recommends in terms of reparations. There are only 200, but that's 200 too many, California. Their descendants, you know, should be taken care of in some way.
Slaves were not owned by government. They were owned by individuals. And like it or not, at the time, slavery was legal. And slavery was a democratic institution, as was Jim Crow. So the only people that will be paying reparations are Democrats, not Republicans.
All right. We also want to get to another big issue from this week. President Trump teased this big, major announcement. So here's the announcement.
Hello, everyone. This is Donald Trump, hopefully your favorite president of all time, better than Lincoln, better than Washington, with an important announcement to make. I'm doing my first official Donald J. Trump NFT collection right here and right now.
All right, so they are called Trump Digital Trading Cards. They're $99 each, and if you buy one, you're entered into a lottery to have dinner with the president. Gloria, have you already bought yours?
No, but I wonder if Larry has. I think Larry's probably upset that, in fact, Trump stole the costumes, perhaps, that Larry was going to use to sell his digital trading cards. Am I right, Larry?
Well, the mission was for us to talk about Trump. Mission accomplished. He's a very savvy business guy, and that's what he was doing.
Well, he's monetizing the fact that he was president and that he is popular among a very small and shrinking base of his supporters, and he's trying to make as much money that he can. It's all going to him personally, by the way. It's not going to his campaign to run for president.
I don't disagree with what you just now said. He does, in my opinion, have a smaller and shrinking base.
Yes.
A smaller percentage of Republicans now say they want him to run. A greater percentage now say they want Ron DeSantis to run. It's not going to be a coronation.
And, you know, there's some speculation that you're going to run, Larry, including, let's look at this from the Des Moines Register, where, you know, they have that little caucus thing. And they asked you about this possibility. We talked about this possibility right after the recall campaign, and you hinted for the first time you might be interested. Larry Elder, are you running for president?
I'm thinking about it. I got 3.5 million votes out here. Brian Dawley, who ran against Gavin Newsom the last time, got 2.4 million. So I got 1.1 million votes more than he did. We carried 57 or 58 counties on the recall side, on the placement side, including I carried San Diego County by 30 points. Kevin Faulkner, the two-time mayor of San Diego, was the one that the party wanted. We raised $22 million in 7.5 weeks. Brian Dawley raised $2 million in almost a year. So we did quite well.
Well, here's my question
for
you.
I'm thinking about running for president, yes.
So, in other words, are you going to run as the libertarian that you used to be?
I still
the Republican that you just were recently in your race with Governor Newsom? Or are you trending towards becoming a Democrat or independent or other?
Or maybe trans. Look, I am a small L libertarian, always have been and always will be. I'm a registered Republican.
That's what I thought.
Just as Milton Friedman was.
So what's the lane for you?
Well, obviously, the economy, inflation, energy independence, and borders, which is all of what all of us are going to talk about.
And you're anti-choice, too, right? But, that'll be part of your platform.
But there are two things that I think I bring to the table. One of them is this refutation that America is systemically racist. And the second is the importance of family. 70% of black kids now enter the world without a father married to the mother in the home. 40% of all kids in America have that status now.
What about the answer to my question?
It is the number one problem facing America.
Against the, are you against the right to, you know, to have legal and safe
available abortions? Am I pro-life? Yes. Let me ask you a question.
You're anti-choice.
At what point do you think a pregnancy has gone so far that it's murder? What point? A minute before birth?
We're so...
See, left-wing
we
people,
are so
left-wing
far
people never want to answer that question.
You know,
they want to ask me a question about whether or not I'm pro-life and whether or not I want exceptions to this and the other. But you don't want to answer that question. And Gavin Newsom didn't want to answer that question.
We're so far beyond that.
Far beyond what?
Far beyond arguing about whether they're, you know, a fertilized egg should have more rights than an adult woman.
So the Philadelphia doctor...
We're so beyond that.
The Philadelphia doctor who's behind bars having committed abortions in the third trimester, he should be set free? I'm asking.
You're changing the subject.
All right.
Wow.
So
you don't want to answer.
So how likely is it that you run for president?
There's a strong possibility. Let me put it like that.
Okay. And Gloria, if you had to vote for a Republican, would Larry Elder be the Republican that you voted for?
I don't have to vote for a Republican.
Hypothetically.
I have in the past, but I won't say who.
Counselor, answer the hypothetical. If you had to vote for a Republican, would you vote for me?
Well, you know, all I can say is, you haven't asked me to run as your running mate. Aren't you going to ask me?
We're going to bring America together right here on The Issue.
Probably not.
No.
It's not likely.
And if you ask
me,
I wouldn't accept.
We'd be too California.
But why don't you ask me?
It'd be too California. Yeah,
yeah.
A problem with the
yeah, you're not allowed to do that with the Constitution.
Oh, I'm geographically undesirable.
Yeah, up next.
He knew.
News from both of them, including on Harvey Weinstein. But we go to break with friend of the show, Matt Friend, and his impression of Donald Trump's big announcement. Watch this, guys.
It's your favorite president, Donald John Trump, better than Lincoln, better than Washington, with a very special announcement. We are introducing the Trump Digital Trading Cards, a non-fungible Trump.
We were never taught that America was bad and that we were not Americans. We were raised to love America.
Uncle Tom 2 is a new documentary from executive producer Larry Elder, available at uncletom.com. We're back with Gloria Allred and Larry Elder. Larry, tell us real quickly about the film.
Well, it's about how after slavery, black people still move forward, despite Jim Crow, despite the KKK. Why? Because of a belief in family, belief in God, a belief in the values of America, and the belief in entrepreneurship, all of which are under assault by organizations like Black Lives Matter. On their website, they decry the nuclear family as some sort of artificial construct of Western civilization. They, of course, embraced Karl Marx, who hated capitalism, and who was an atheist. So all the things that made black people survive despite horrific conditions are, in my opinion, under assault by organizations like Black Lives Matter. And that's what Uncle Tom, too, talks about.
It's fair to say Gloria's not in it.
Gloria has a cameo part.
Yeah. Gloria, I know you've been busy recently with the Harvey Weinstein trial. You represent one of his accusers. There's been 9 days now of jury deliberation. We don't know much of what's happening behind the scenes there. Why is it taking so long? What's going on?
They're having to consider whether or not to convict on 4 different Jane Doe individuals for whom charges have been filed. And also during the trial, Alex, there were 4 other women who testified as what we call Me Too witnesses, 1101B witnesses. And so they're also considering their testimony, even though no charges were filed, to show a similar pattern, modus operandi, plan, scheme, and so forth. And so, you know, there are 8 men. There are 4 women on the jury, and they've asked for readbacks of some of the testimony. And obviously, they've been having some difficulty in reaching a verdict. They need a unanimous jury in order to convict, a unanimous jury in order to acquit. It's also possible they could convict for some victims and acquit on others. There's all possibilities are open, including a possible mistrial.
So what do you read into the fact that it's taking so long?
Just that they're having trouble, and they're arguing, and that's fine. They're deliberating, they're working hard. And so coming back on Monday for the 10th day, and I'm looking forward to the result, whatever it is. I certainly hope that there's not going to be a mistrial, which would mean there has to be a decision as to whether or not there would be a second trial. The prosecutors will have to make that decision, and whether the victims would be willing to testify again. I represent one of the Jane Does and also one of the Me Too witnesses, and also I did represent another Jane Doe who did not end up testifying. But I will say this, he is sentenced to 23 years in New York, and 20 of those years are based on the testimony of my client who testified in New York, and he was convicted of criminal sexual assault. So whatever happens here, he's likely to continue to be in custody. But of course, the New York Court of Appeals is going to hear his appeal in July.
All right, but you'll be there when there is a verdict.
I will.
Let's hope it's sooner.
I'm on verdict watch for the 10th day on Monday.
And Gloria, we can agree that Harvey Weinstein is a disgusting pig. We can agree on that.
I don't talk in those terms. Mm-hmm. I just, he's either convicted or he's not convicted, and I don't like to engage in name calling. Unless, of course, I'm calling you names, Larry. I'll make an exception for you.
Larry, I'll agree
you're
with
special.
You.
Yeah.
I will
you're
agree.
You're very special. Yeah. I didn't say whether they'd be good names or bad names.
I will agree with you that Harvey Weinstein is a disgusting pig.
Right. If you can't call Harvey Weinstein a disgusting pig, who can you call it?
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, we're going to talk the holidays next and see these two dance together. We are back with Gloria Allred and Larry Elder as we wrap things up in the holiday season. Quick holiday message from each of you.
Well, you know that Santa is really a woman, don't you, Alex?
Why is that?
Because who else would give so much and get so little in return? Happy holidays, everyone.
And Gloria's going to be suing the Santa because of the elves. They're all white. No diversity, no inclusion, no equity. And I want to say thank God for Elon Musk buying Twitter. Confirm what we all knew, that conservative content were being suppressed.
All right. Great holiday message there, Larry.
So we're going to end. Elon.
That's why he's so much fun.
We're going to end with some dancing.
An African American.
Yeah.
An African American.
That's
the real
right. From South Africa. Yeah. We're jingle balls with
Super Glow,
Frank Sinatra.
Yes.
All right, now Larry's going to get a chance to take over.
I told you she wouldn't.
You're not going to dance with Larry?
I told you she wouldn't. Go
Why aren't you going to dance with sex discrimination?
Dashing through the snow.
You have to let me lead this time.
Happy holidays, everyone. Thanks for watching The Issue Is. See you next week. Our thanks to Gloria and Larry. And to you for listening, and our thanks to
Karen Bass as well. Next week will be our last show of the year here on The Issue Is. In the meantime, we wish you a very happy holiday season. Good luck with the shopping, and we'll see you next time for more.